And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Son of Slovenia, cool as hell. He scores the ball and he rebounds well. Don't fight the future. Here comes Luka. Even losses feel like wins when you're with your good friend Tim. It's 77 minutes in heaven.
Hello, this is 77 Minutes, a Dallas Mavericks podcast, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. The only Mavericks podcast that has 200 episodes as of today. I'm not saying... That's actually correct. Like, I'm sure... Well, I'm not sure.
There are others that have 204, maybe 400. There are some that have, like, 102. Not 200 on the dot, baby. Not like us.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if there's another Mavericks podcast at this exact moment that has 200 episodes. And only... 200 episodes. I'm Tim Cato. I've been here most of the time, most of these episodes with y'all, pretty much all of them. And we're here to fix the Mavericks, or try to, or decide that they're not fixable in some way or the other. With me are Mike Bellucci and Austin Gurria. You know them. It's the usual cohort. And we're coming to y'all after the Mavericks beat the Utah Jazz unconvincingly. And lost to the New Orleans Pelicans very convincingly. And things are not where they were supposed to be during, a two-month stretch that was supposed to be a honeymoon period of sorts with Kyrie Irving joining the team. He was supposed to fix things. He's been great. It's not his fault that things are not being fixed.
No.
But things are not going how they should or how they could. I think should is fair. I think that there are some things that the team is doing that are fixable and changeable, whether it takes, whether it's players getting healthy and right, or whether it's decisions that are being made. And then some things are ones that we'll have to wait, and we'll talk a little bit about all of that. But I think we'll just start with the obvious one. The Mavericks have to get Luka right, even if it takes sitting him for a couple games. I don't know what it is, but he says that this thigh strain, thigh contusion, this thigh injury he's been dealing with, he said he's been feeling it since the second game after the All-Star break. And he's looked it too. He hasn't looked himself. I think after the New Orleans game, where he looked as bad as I've ever seen him, even playing through injury, he is someone who plays through injury. There's no doubt about that. There's no question about his toughness. And I do think that it was probably mostly his own motivation to be out there.
Yeah, but that's the key.
He can't play. He can't play when he looks like that.
Yeah, this is not going to be a Luka Doncic decision. If it's up to Luka and Luka sees the scan is clean, Luka will probably want to go. This has to be a top-down, listen, man, you got to chill. Go back on some dude's Overwatch stream like you did this week. Tell him you're not Luka Doncic, you are Luka Doncic. Hang out for like 5 days. Who knows? Maybe it's more. We don't see the scans. But yeah, this is an organizational decision that has to be communicated down versus just leaving it up to Luka, because Luka will try to go, especially with the team being so tenuously placed in the standings right now.
I think a good question is, can it be an organizational decision, or does Luka drive the decision if he's not actually hurt? Is there anybody in that room that can tell him not to play if he's actually capable of playing?
I mean, there's one person. It's Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd was hired. We've had this discussion before when we've talked about Luka's effort, motivation, technical stuff like that. Jason Kidd was hired because he was a coach that Luka Doncic respects, and the last coach was not. And it is very clear there are many aspects of Luka Doncic and his career, when it comes to agency, and when it comes to teammates, that Luka is going to do what Luka wants to do. And there's not a lot of ways that you can influence that. But the head coach, Jason Kidd, someone who he, you know, from the outset said, talked about growing up and being a fan of, and talked about his, you know, career and the respect that he had for him. Yeah, it has to come from Jason Kidd. That's the one person who can get through to him.
Yeah, and I think it'll be good if Luka can miss a few games here. I think we've been pretty critical of Luka post All-Star break and his effort on the defensive end and how he's, you know, his general sense of play. And now it's pretty clear that he's been hurt the entire time he's been playing through an injury. And I think right now in his current state, he probably hurts more than he helps if he's not 100% healthy. And it's probably better for both Luka and the team if he sits a few games until he gets completely right.
Right, especially because we've seen this team without Luka when he was dealing with a heel problem look okay, look good at times. It's clear that Kyrie, you know, in Kyrie has been very good. Kyrie, you know, trading for Kyrie is, you know, it's a weird thing that's very flipped right now. You know, when the Mavericks were sitting him early in the season on back-to-backs, when they didn't have a replacement, did not have a second star, and now they have one, and they're playing him on back-to-backs when he looks like this. Like, explain that to me. You know, like, there is a disconnect. Obviously, a big part of it is the point of the season and where the Mavericks are in the standings. But for them to, you know, prematurely and cautiously rest him when he was healthy and playing as well as he was, and for them now to be, you know, forcing him out there, pushing him out there, or himself forcing himself out there, it's a really hard decision to grapple with, to fully understand, you know, just why he was out there against New Orleans.
Yeah, and even setting aside the Luka implications of this, right? What do we know about Jason Kidd? He loves using the regular season as kind of his little lab for the playoffs, right? And obviously the playoffs, presuming they get to the playoffs, and you know, the fact that we're saying that this late in the year, not the most comforting thing in the world, but presuming they get to the playoffs, what you will allow yourself to do if Luka takes a little bit of a rest is see more of what these Kyrie lineups look like, see what Kyrie influence pace looks like over more games, because we know that he will push the pace in a way that Luka won't. And you're to learn more about your team that way. You're to learn more about, you know, when Jason's talking about playing Jaden Hardy. Well, Jaden Hardy, if he's playing, you probably want to maximize pushing the pace and maximize his athleticism. That works well with Kyrie Irving, right? So you're going to get more wrinkles. You're going to get more time to figure out what works with Kyrie and what doesn't in a non-Luka setting. That might give you some more ideas for the postseason. So it's not the worst thing in the world, as opposed to, again, if this were the pre-Irving trade team, you weren't going to want a damn thing without Luka on the floor, other than nobody else on this team can carry the load. At least there's some little basketball lab test laboratory that you can kind of work around here, in addition to the fact that, hey, Kyrie Irving's really good and might be able to win you some of those games anyways.
That leads to, go ahead, Austin.
I was going to say, and the data so far in the Luka Kyrie pairing, they've been better with Kyrie on the floor than by himself than with Luka on the floor by himself. They've had a negative point differential with Luka on and Kyrie off, and a positive point differential with Kyrie on and Luka off. So it's not necessarily, you know, a downgrade for Luka to miss a few games while they let Kyrie run the offense. It's clear that Kyrie has had a pretty positive influence on how they play on both ends.
And hey, that might change if, you know, Kyrie all of a sudden is going up against starters. There's obviously some random, you know, just random numbers contained within those sample sets because they're pretty
playing
small.
40 like, a night, all of that. Yeah.
For example, opponents have hit way more threes, like the three-point percentage is way higher in the Luka only minutes, and they're really low in the Kyrie only minutes. So what the reason I'm bringing that up is just to say that, like, it's not going to, you know, like, Luka healthy, the minutes with only him on the floor will be fine. But yeah, this is the time to do it. This is the time to make sure he is healthy, to get him right, you know, whatever that takes. And, you know, maybe he's fine on Saturday and can play against Memphis. You know, I am not in the room. You know, the training staff of the Mavericks is very well respected. And you know, ultimately, I trust the decisions they're making, and I think everybody should. But yeah, that's the first thing here. You know, we talk about his defense in terms of like him not getting back. He's letting people, you know, backdoor cut him, you know, like not even paying attention. Like there was at least one, I think several times where the Pelicans just got, you know, went to the rim, got a pass and dunked, and it was Luka's man, and he was just, you know, not keeping an eye on him. The defense is slipping, and it's really hard to play good defense that way. I think the other thing the Pelicans game made clear is that the Mavericks just need to play their better players. You know, they need to play players who are more talented. And, you know, as much as, you know, the run they went on in the fourth quarter, it's not always going to work out like that if you put Jaden Hardy and Davis Bertans on the floor. But it's really hard for me to think that those two players shouldn't get some minutes when, you know, Frank Ntilikina and Justin Holiday and Markieff Morris are the people contributing to New Orleans building a lead and really do not look like they should be out there whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, so what do you say better players? Let's define this, right? Who needs to be on the floor for this team?
I mean, look, I like Frank Ntilikina, but he's not contributing right now, and he hasn't pretty much this entire season. I don't think he's been as impactful as he was last season. Markieff Morris is, you know, was a player who was getting DMPs in Brooklyn, and he played 3 minutes on Wednesday. I'm not, you know, making a bigger deal of that.
Right, yeah.
But I don't think that there's, you know, he wasn't expected to be in the rotation when he arrived, and I don't know if now's the time to experiment with that and see if there is something workable there. Justin Holiday should probably continue in the rotation, but he was not good on Wednesday. And in games that he's not playing well, then he shouldn't be getting minutes. Again, granted, they were without Reggie Bullock, and I get that the options were limited. They were without Maxi Kleber either. But consistently, and this is something I've talked about a little bit on, you know, in articles on this podcast, it's very clear that Jason Kidd, defensive-minded coach who has been throwing every defensive first player out on the court together in hopes of getting a semi-coherent defense together, but it's not working. I agree that's probably the way that if the Mavericks were to become a title contender, that is how they should think about their team and play. But Jason Kidd does not have the personnel to do that. You know, if you don't actually have defensive first players who are actually improving your defense and competent on the other end, then there's not much point of doing that. And I think that as much, you know, he was joking when he said, you know, we're just going to outscore everybody. But pragmatically, that is how the Mavericks can potentially win games. And I think that if the lineups were a little bit different on Wednesday, I'm not fully whatsoever attributing the loss to Jason Kidd, but I do think that could have... Actually, you know what? That was a winnable game if they had played different players. If the lineups were different, if the rotations were different, if the Luka decision were different. I don't know that the Luka decision was Jason Kidd, but ultimately Jason Kidd, if Luka's going to look like that, has to be the one who says, you know, sit down, get right. And this, there's like, they're too far into the season. They're too low in the standings to be losing winnable games, even on the second night of a back-to-back, even without a few key rotation players. It has to be pragmatic from this point out.
Yeah, and I think this is a good example, and I probably maybe the pivot point in the season where Kidd is just going to play his better players. I mean, I think I agree with you in that, like, he's trying to build a defensive identity, and this team just hasn't been able to do it. They're trying to play these defensive first players, and they can't stop anybody. It's honestly just like a parade to the rim every single game. If I was watching film on the Mavericks and I was going into a game, I'd be excited. I get excited watching them. Like, I think I can go up there and go get a bucket against Christian Wood at the rim. It's been really bad, and so he might as well double down on the offense at this point. I think also I agree with your point that if they just sat Luka for against the Pelicans, they probably win that game. If they play Jaden Hardy over Frank Ntilikina for those few minutes, they most likely win that game. And it'll be interesting to see how they do that against the Grizzlies, who are also undermanned, but a very athletic team. And just, they need to play their athletes. I think that's one thing that about the Kyrie era so far is that he empowers a lot of the other players around him. He also empowers their most athletic players and brings something out of them that I think Luka doesn't really enhance. And I think that's something that he needs to lean into if they're going to miss Luka here for a few games.
So I wrote about a decent bit of this today at D Magazine, really mostly focusing on Jaden Hardy, right? And a little bit on the dunk because that dunk was absurd, but really just the idea of Jaden Hardy and why doesn't he play? And we know why he doesn't play, right? He's 20 years old. He's a rookie. Coaches don't trust rookies. But and Justin Holiday,
good reason to be fair.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. But in a vacuum, sure. In the context of this team, though, right? You know, whether Jason's joking, whether he's not, this team will go as far as your offense will take you, which is a peculiar notion when really a lot of that offense hinges on two guys in particular most of the time, right? Because even your occasional Tim Hardaway hot streak notwithstanding, it's not like most people on this team can consistently create offense besides Luka and Kyrie Irving, right? The way to maximize this thing, insofar as it can be maximized, is use the tools at your disposal. And that's not to say, for instance, play Christian Wood 35 minutes a night, because guess what? Dwight Powell adds things. Dwight Powell does things and doesn't take things off the table too much to the degree that it makes a lot of sense for Dwight to play the minutes he plays. But Frank Ntilikina, not so much. If that's the zero-sum swap, then Jaden Hardy makes more sense. And it doesn't have to be a zero-sum thing, right? Get creative, play three guard lineups and play a little less of Justin Holiday. Get Jaden Hardy on the floor because there's this fallacy, right? This idea that veterans are safe. But look at Justin Holiday's game last night. He was negative 30 in 16 minutes. He did not make a shot. That is awful. And that's not me picking on Justin Holiday because I do think he has a role, right? I'm with you. He shouldn't be out of the rotation. But it does prove that, hey, even 10-year veterans can have lows, right? They have lows because they're limited by talent. The highs are only so high with the Justin Holiday. We saw it in the first game. He hit a bunch of corner threes. Fantastic. He plays solid-ish defense, sure. But there are lows, too, if you don't have the skill, right? Frank Ntilikina's highs aren't high because he can't do anything offensively. But there are lows, too, because if you're zero on offense and you're not really killing it on defense, and to be fair, even Drew Holiday couldn't fix this defense by himself, right? There's too many holes. So what are you going to do? Are you going to try to be safe or are you going to try to maximize what you have? You know, I referenced a thing in my piece today, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, when they won in 2004, they had a sign in their locker room and it said, safe is death. That's what this team is right now. They cannot play safe because they're not equipped to play safe. Maybe last year, sure, that worked. Like you said, Tim, this isn't that. So, you know, lean into Jaden Hardy because there's real ceiling. Lean into Davis Bertans because, one, he played actual playoff minutes for you a year ago. I feel like Jason Kidd may have forgotten this, but he played on this team that he treasured so much. But, two, even Davis Bertans isn't the shooter now that he was 3 years ago. We've seen that he has a skill that is an elite skill at its best, right? He is a motion shooter. They don't have a lot of that. That's something. That high point is better than anything Justin Holiday or Frank Ntilikina will get you. So, yeah, it's not just leaning into your overall best players. It's you got to lean into a little bit of risk. You can't be risk averse at this point because this team, if there's, it's a high variance team and you are at a high variance battle of the standings. And God knows if you get to the play-in games, that's the ultimate high variance scenario. You've got to just swallow your appetite or not swallow your appetite, swallow your aversion for risk and accept that this is who you are and just go out there, go balls out, play Jaden Hardy, play three guard lineups, push it to the limit. That's all they can do right now.
And I'll say again, I understand the mindset in a vacuum because like you said, Mike, if this team will go as far as their offense takes them, it's not going to be the finals. You know, it's probably not going to be the conference finals. Like, it is very clear that if this team is selling out to be the best offense they can be and just giving up on the defense and hoping for the best, then yeah, they're going to lose in the playoffs and they're probably going to lose maybe, you know, within the first two rounds. But at this point, this is not, you know, the reigning, you know, conference finalists. This is not that team. This is very clearly, there have been too many games. We have seen too much for the Mavericks to treat themselves as, you know, a sleeping giant. That Jason Kidd has been very stubborn about wanting to install a defense that can be a championship level defense, but he's had 65 games and it hasn't happened and it's not happening and he doesn't have the players. Jason Kidd has to meet the roster where it is, you know?
Yeah.
There can't be a continued stubbornness to try to make these, you know, end of bench players into, you know, every night role players that change the way that this team plays defense. And so that is where I'm at. And yes, there is a slight, we probably have to at least mention Christian Wood in this. Honestly, we don't have to. We've talked about him so much on this podcast. we've acknowledged that at times during the season he should play more. That does go back to pragmatism versus idealism. I think, you know, maybe he should play it a few more minutes, but he played plenty against the Pelicans. I think his role's fine. I don't want to talk about that. I do want to talk about Josh Green. And we've got the two foremost Josh Green apologists on this podcast.
Thank you for giving me my due credit. For a long time, it was just Austin. When I had the tweet on draft night that this was my guy. So thank you, Tim. I'm glad we've gotten back to a place where Austin and I drive the bandwagon together and suffer together.
Part of fixing the Mavericks, you know, in this final month of the season is getting Josh Green right. What's going wrong with him? Can y'all explain it?
I think the only way that I could explain it is this is the most basketball he's played in a season, and he just looks a little timid. I don't know, like he just hit a wall. He's no longer driving to the basket. It's not even she's still shooting the ball relatively well. It's just he lost all of his confidence going to the rim. All the things he was doing going to the rim, it's just gone now. And that's the one thing that really took his game to the next level, is that not only was he shooting it well, but he was going to the rim, he was creating for others. Even defensively, I think he slipped a little bit. I think it looks like his confidence has gotten shot a little bit. He's a guy who has a big confidence. He needs his confidence to play well. Otherwise, he overthinks, he gets nervous, he throws the ball away. He's had some very bad turnovers. He needs a get right game. He needs a game where they play the Hornets soon. And I'm thinking when they play the Hornets or they play the Pacers and he has a little more free reign, or even maybe in the stretch where Luka's not playing, I mean, they have to put the ball in his hands a little bit more. That'll maybe help him break out of this slump. But I think it's the first time where he's just flat out just not playing well. He's not really doing any of the things that made him such an integral part of this team for the most part of the season.
Yeah, and it's worth noting too, right? You know, as much as I think so much of the focus post Kyrie trade has been Luka's adjustment. Well, there are adjustments for other players too. You know, the adjustment for Josh Green is there's no more Dorian Finney-Smith here. You know, there's more that will be asked of him. And what was our assumption? Everybody's assumption was it'll be fine. Even if, you know, Dorian is integral as he is, Josh Green's ready to take that step. Well, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. He's still 22, you know? So I'm not terribly worried long term. I do think, and this goes with point number two that Tim made about playing your better players, I don't think this is the time for Jason Kidd to get away from him, you know? And right now, with no Bullock and no Maxi Kleber, it's not a whole lot that he can necessarily do to move away from him anyways. He has to play. But this has to be a time where embracing risk, but also big picture reward, because again, this teammate winning long-term, but if you are going to win long-term, Josh Green's going to be a part of it. You got to keep him out there. You just got to let him ride through it. This can't be a deal where his minutes get cut and you get more Justin Holiday out in the world. That's not going to fix anything in the short term. It will definitely not fix anything long term.
Yeah, I see a lack of confidence a lot. I don't want to blame it on him going to the bench. It could be that the coaching staff actually saw this dip coming. And I don't know if they were coincided. It's around when he's started playing a little bit less. Also, you know, he still played minutes in those games. I'm not too worried about that. I am much more worried about just how he's playing. And we've talked about this before. He doesn't get all the way to the rim on a lot of his drives. And it seems like teams are playing him a little bit better in terms of understanding that he's not going to just flat out burn his defender. He's gonna easily get to 10 feet, and then he's gonna do a lot of, you know, shimmies and spins and shakes, and that worked for him for a long stretch of this season, and it's not working as well, and it's certainly not freeing him up for those incisive passes that, you know, when he's in the right situations, he can make and are a big benefit to the team. And so finding a way to do that, and like you said, Austin, if Luka has to sit, that's actually a great chance for him to get going, I think, because there are just less touches, and, you know, I think a 22-year-old, understandably, when he's sharing the court with Kyrie and Luka, you know, like adding another star at, you know, somebody he grew up watching to the mix, that probably does make it hard. That probably does make you second guess at times. And so if that can happen, you know, the get right game, as you call it, I like that term, the get right game, you know?
Sometimes you get right. So he's on the scouting report now too.
I think everybody should should be allowed to have a get right game. You know, like you or me, just, you know, it's a Friday. It's my get right Friday.
Anyway, yeah, there you go.
They need a get right Saturday from Josh Green on this Saturday against Memphis.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Last thing to fix the Mavericks is unfortunately not something that's really going to help them over the next month and a half into the postseason, but you got to sign better defenders. Like, as we've gone around in circles and circles and circles, you know, it's not the above average defense is not going to happen this year. That ship has sailed, and it's easier to build a team once you have two stars in place and assuming, big assumption, you know, that Kyrie Irving is back in Dallas, that this is how the Mavericks are building their team going forward. They need more talent. They do not have enough defensive talent on the team, and finding the right guys and adding more size, because quietly, a little secretly, the Mavericks, who one of the things that was so good about the team last season was that they were just constantly playing these huge lineups. They've got a lot smaller. They're playing a lot. You know, they just don't have.
Istar Franco is going to have something for us on that next week.
Yeah, they don't have 6'8" size, you know, 6'8" players and up. You know, just covering the floor like
which should be easy to optimize. You would think when your best player is a gigantic guard, but alas, right.
Exactly,
that is not
exactly
the situation.
Exactly. Yeah, so you know, and that's got to change.
Permission to shitster when it comes to size, just. Can I give a shit stirring stat that you don't have to just get into, but we can just throw it out there.
Chuck that grenade and just run for the exit.
You can't say like I don't have enough control of this podcast to like tell you no, and then we're just gonna leave. Yeah, give the stat. You teased it. Let's hear it.
This season, games played: Luka Doncic, 57. Kristaps Porzingis, 56.
You're gonna make nobody happy with that.
Just put it out there. Just
how many games has JaVale played? Right, like a solid 53, a little 54, maybe something like that, give or take.
Oh man,
there's some size for you. Let's get him back in the floor, baby. Problem solved.
just wanted to note that free agent this offseason.
I am happy for Kristaps that he's found a good
now
place.
That is a good place to take this. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Not with the Kristaps Porzingis thing, but you know, that's. I will say, and you know, again, It doesn't, at this point of the season, it's, you know, the Kyrie trade has definitely freshened things up, but there is, you do start to lose a little bit of freshness, a little bit of new things to say, because, you know, we've been with this team so long and we understand a lot of aspects of how they operate. You know, the team does need a, you know, fresh looks, and they do need, man, I don't even know where I was going with that, which kind of speaks to my point. Like, we're, to some extent, we're running out of things to say, and I'm just going to shut up now. We can end the podcast.
Fair answer.
What else do y'all got?
I
had a great point. I think I really did.
It's in there somewhere. We'll talk about this all offseason. You know, the good news, as we talked about last show, if you keep Kyrie and Kyrie keeps playing like he has and being the model citizen that he has been off the floor, you've done the hard part. Right, we talked for years about how you did the hard part. You found star number one. Well, now they might have found star number two. So, the rest is fixable with the right moves. They still have enough big picture assets. If you were savvy around the margins, which they haven't been for a while, but you know, whatever. Optimism, people. Optimism. It's all doable. You just gotta get to the off season and see if Kyrie stays.
Yeah, all they gotta do, Luka and Kyrie, get on Twitch, recruit their newest star through Twitch, and they'll be great.
Maybe that's it, man. All right, like. You know, and look, Kyrie is a Twitch poster. Luka is a Twitch reply guy. But I feel like there's a way to get them together and making this work.
They're almost there. It's the most synergy he's had with the star.
I actually do think maybe the most relatable thing that any star he's played with is that Kyrie is on Twitch playing video games. I think Luka gets that one.
That's all you have to have in common to be best friends for life. I don't know if that's true, but anyway, let's get out of here. Mike, Austin, thank you for doing this. Listeners, thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Hopefully things are a little cheerier, because it's always fun to talk about a basketball team that is just having fun.
It's fun when the basketball team is fun.
Absolutely.
He plays Fortnite just like me. I am 34. Don't fight the future, honey. Don't fight the future. The future is Luka, Big Dick Doncic, from the home of Melania Trump. How many kids you have? Don't fight the future, it tears me apart. Don't fight the future. Please be nice to Luka. Future four-time MVP.
Oh my God! Oh! Shut it down! Oh, let's go home! It's a wrap, Doug!
That is a wrap.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.